I'm Errol Callahan from PMG.
Yanni from the SBC CBC Radio.
Pleasure for the Meinhausen Safety Council to come and present this annual report, 2008 and 9 annual report, you will be well aware that in the past year witnessed an increased focus on issues related to health and safety at mines. The presidential audit report was finalized. Later in the year, there was a tripartite leadership summit. Because before last year, we'll have noticed that for the past, from 2005, I mean, levels of death in the mining industry have been around 200, and they were just not improving. And the stakeholders in the industry felt that something needs to be done. And a summit was called in September, and a serious action plan was developed, which informed the activities of council, and the presentation will also elaborate on that. And it's also at this stage to maybe just introduce the members. I think previously when we came to the committee, we had acting presidents in many of the positions that council. One of the questions we had was, well, what is happening? The council was struggling, turnover was too high, there was no senior leadership, and in the last year we managed to consolidate, to finalize the structure, and also to appoint senior personnel to look at the interests of council. And on my left, I have Ponso Marupi, who is the CEO of the Mine Health and Safety Council, coming from the Department of Science and Technology. And on my right, or in the extreme left, we have Dina Kwele, who is the Chief Financial Officer. And on my right, Naveen Khan, who is the Chief Research Operating Officer. We managed to publish it from CSIR, so we didn't just look, but we always get a strong research session to look at the cancer program of research. And before I give the CEO an opportunity to take us through the report, just to emphasize that in 2007, the council had a look at its strategic priorities and elevated five, which directed the council and its activity in the last year. As we well know, council is an advisory body that advises the minister on health and safety issues. We've got three committees, SEMRESC, MRESC, and MOHEC, that really formulate advice for council to advise the minister on what needs to be done. Five areas that were highlighted as key strategic priorities was promoting and facilitating a preventative occupational health and safety culture. Because more often we deal with failure, accident investigations, inquiries, and the thinking is, was what do we do before accidents happen? And the CEO will elaborate on the program under the strategic focus. And also supporting the achievement of 2018 milestone. In 2003, the council set targets were of reducing noise-induced hearing loss, silicosis, including foreground accidents and deaths in mind. And we put programs to support those specific milestones, advising the minister that the regular review of regulations on health and safety, and also promoting development of health and safety capacity. Because we've always spoken about capacity skills in many other areas, but very little on health and safety competence. And there's that focus in developing capacity of operators in health and safety. And lastly, ensuring the effective operation of council. I mean, council uses levies that are collected from mines. And in a way, levies are part of state funds, and they need to be managed frugally and prudently. And hence, we have programs to make sure that that's what happens. And in the past 2 years, we've seen the results of that when we enjoyed an unqualified audit report. So at that point, Chair, I will allow the CEO to take us through the detailed presentation of the annual report.
Members of the committee. What I will cover today is to start talking a little bit about the context of minor safety in terms of what sort of information we look at in deciding the priority for council. I'll take you through the overview of council and what we need, and then highlight achievements for each strategic objective. The financial report and give you a October report on the agent's findings. I think that's really just to give a perspective in terms of how we go through the establishment of the mine health and safety task force. Mining has been a key economic activity in South Africa for hundreds of years, and in 1960 we had one of the major disasters in the coal mining industry, where as many as 435 people were killed in a single accident in the coal industry. And out of that, you know, there were several interventions trying to see how we can improve how we do mining in order to prevent death in the mining industry. In 1995, we had a Leon Commission. This commission then led to the development of the Mine Health and Safety Act. And this act was also recently amended in 2008 for implementation this year. This act led to the establishment of council in its current existence. Since then, the operation of council is primarily guided by the Mine Health and Safety Act. Some of the things that have happened that have also guided what our priorities were defined included the 2003 Tripartite Summit, which developed the industry milestones. There was a presidential audit that has also come up with recommendations. And last year, as the Chairperson of Council has indicated, we also had a summit that defined an action plan. All of these really enable us to establish mining as a safe and healthy working environment. How have we done? In 2008, we were able to really improve safety performance quite significantly. In 2006-07, the reduction there was hardly any reduction in fatality rate to the level of 0.21. Last year, the fatality rate was 0.15, and for the first time, we managed to get below 200. We managed to get below 200 fatalities. And this is also just in case the performance in the various key sectors, for instance, all of them indicate a decrease in the number of fatalities in the past year, except for coal, where we had a slight increase, which means that there is some improvement, even though the numbers remain high. This just indicates the various categories that result in fatalities. The main ones are fall of ground. This has remained a key challenge, not only the gold sector, but there seems to be an increasing trend in the platinum sector of accidents that are as a result of fall of ground. And the other major one is the patient, and the other one is general tissue, things such as explosions, things such as falling objects, gasoline, material engine related equipment. This is just to give you a sense of where we are compared to last year when we look at how we're performing this year. We have a reduction today to just shows up to September, but if you go to October, fatalities are currently sitting at 145. Fatalities, and last year at this time we were at 161 fatalities, so we have a 4% improvement in the fatality numbers. Just to indicate also that this is measured only up to December, so the year for measuring the fatalities runs from January to December. We are really hoping that we will again improve on last year's numbers, but the likelihood is that we won't have as significant an improvement as we have been from 2007 to 2008. The peak that we see in July was as a result of a similar accident at Emlo Park, where there were the most challenging area for us is really on the health side. You can imagine when you look at safety, the fatality, it happens immediately. You have an incident occurring, you have an immediate result. When it comes to health, it takes time for the diseases to be picked up, and therefore there is a lot more need to look at the lead indicators so that we can really focus on preventative measures. A lot of the these major diseases that are purely as a result of the environment in the mining sector, like hearing loss and silicosis, not treatable. Once a person has lost their hearing, they cannot never recover it. And silicosis is also another major disease where once a person has the disease, you can never treat it. Therefore, the focus for those two primarily is to ensure that we develop mechanisms for preventing exposure and the other major one is various forms of TB, as you can see if you look at those graphs, there's a huge significant number of mine workers that develop various forms of TB. This is just a measure that we look at in terms of exposure, noise exposure, and each region, site in each region has to report on the exposures that miners have in their working environment. And the limit that's been set is that the exposure should be below 85 dBA. And if you look at that, you can see that there's still quite a significant number of people that are exposed to noise levels that are above 85 dBA. That is a On the other side, we have an indication that shows that the number of planes has been reduced for emergency planes. But if you look at the average percentage hearing loss, that is much higher. So even though the number of planes are reducing, but you know, the percentage hearing loss is even double compared to what the milestone requires, but we shouldn't allow for more than 20% percentage hearing loss. And this was again a major concern. How often would be related to the fact that yes, the claims are being submitted late when people are really lost a significant amount of their injury? This leads us into what the mandate of council is. As Mr. Gazi has indicated, our primary mandate is to advise the minister on all occupational health, health and safety issues in the mining industry. And this relates also to legislation, research, and how to promote adherence to measures for reducing health and safety risks. The other key mandate is to review and develop legislation, which we then recommend to the minister. And we have specific committees in council that we possess on an ongoing basis, review code of practice, they review regulations, different regulations and regulations as well. The other mandate is to promote a culture of health and safety in the mining industry, and this is done through development of various initiatives, and some of those I will talk as I respond. The council also oversees research related to health and safety. A lot of the research is outsourced to various institutions, but it is managed through the council also. We also need with other bodies concerned with health and safety issues. For example, consider develop the working relationship with the Mining Qualifications Authority to ensure that we improve the skills around managing health and safety in the sector. The vision of council is the regulatory framework and climate that provides safe and healthy working conditions for mining and communities affected by mining. And our main mission is to ensure that we have sustained improvement of occupational health and safety performance through focused research, guidance, developing best practice, effective policy advice and legislation, and creating the appropriate health. The council structure is as follows. The council itself is made up of equal representation from state, labor, and employers. The council members are appointed for a period of 3 years by the minister, and they are the council is chaired by the chief inspector of mines. We also have an audit committee that has representation from stakeholders and also have an independent chairperson. I have mentioned that we have specific committees within council, permanent committees, the Mining Regulation and Advisory Committee, MREC, focuses on legislation, regulations, development of guidelines and standards. The Mining Occupation and Health Advisory Committee, the health policy, health regulations, and health information and research issues, and also work quite a lot with MREC on the regulations or guidelines that relate to health. The Safety and Mining Research Advisory Committee, MREC, focuses on development of research needs, annual research programs, and technology transfer. These committees are also have stakeholder-nominated members, and they also serve for a 3-year period. all of those work is supported by the men of the state council office. We already mentioned the 2003 summit. At this summit, the industry stakeholders set targets for health and safety. And for instance, on safety, the target is to have a zero rate of fatalities and injuries. And the specific target for the road sector to achieve by 2013 the current international benchmark in the platinum, coal and other sectors to ensure that we achieve constant and continuous improvement again to achieve the current international benchmark. I have already mentioned the issue of silicosis, which is a lung disease that affects miners that are exposed to dust in their working environment. And the intent is that we will not have new entrants into the industry being exposed or getting silicosis. And also that we limit the exposure level by ensuring that we measure in the various environments and ensure that limit remains below the allowable exposure limit for respirable crystalline silica. For noise-induced hearing loss, the industry has already implemented a hearing conservation program that ensures that no one who works in the mining industry should have a more than 10% deterioration in their hearing. And another significant commitment is to ensure that the total noise emitted by equipment that is used in the mining environment does not exceed the level of 110 dB at any location within the world. If you look at this, it gives a sense of the type of research teams that the council also research to ensure that we support the treatment of the target. The key objectives that were developed by council, and we have already touched on that, promoting and facilitating the development of the representative educational health and safety culture, support the achievement of the safety milestone, which I just presented, advising the Minister on health and safety issues, promoting the development of appropriate OHS capacity within the mining industry, and ensuring that the council can operate effectively. Looking at the performance for each of the cases, the first one relates to the promotion and facilitation of development of the identity culture. Council produces a lot of publications, newsletters that are meant to inform and educate the industry on various issues related to health and safety. Council also hosted a tripartite leadership summit last year, which developed an action plan, which I will talk to later. And we also had various workshops with industry to indicate the research outcomes that we had, and those are just some of the highlighted issues related to that. We have included in your text some of the publications. We have more than 30 publications that have been produced by council over the years, relating to in some cases textbooks on rock engineering that are one that council has produced is in fact a prescribed textbook at universities that is used for training of rock engineers. We have various handbooks on health measurements that are used by practitioners using different equipment for measuring, for instance, dust levels or noise levels. We were not able to bring some of the bigger handbooks, but you know, for instance, there is a guideline for ergonomics in locomotives. There's a handbook for mine occupation, occupational hygiene measurements. There's a whole range of guidelines and handbooks that are meant to assist people at various levels within the mining environment with their responsibility of ensuring that they improve the safe and healthy working environment. And these these handbooks are freely available and distributed by council, people are able to just call up council and request them and provide them to the industry. I have already mentioned the leadership summit. The action plan was signed off by the principals of the key stakeholders, and the action plan included three key things: strengthening cultural health and safety, promoting a learning industry and building capacity, and making workplaces safe and healthy. And I'll just introduce to you each of the key actions that were developed for those things. On a health and safety culture, the actions were to develop a cultural transformation framework. This work has already started, and we anticipate that we will finish the development of the framework by the end of this financial year, and with the intention to have it implemented by the industry from the beginning of the next financial year. We will have a future set workshop with the industry on the framework next year, and instead the development of the framework includes participation from various levels again within the industry to ensure that we develop the key values that guide how we do mining, what beliefs we have about how we work in the mining industry, and what are the norms and standards that everyone has to adhere to for us. The other key action is the improvement of the tripartite relationship. The council has been holding their quarterly meetings in various regions so that there is closer interactions with stakeholders in those regions. Part of that will also look at ensuring that we develop guidelines, for instance, around enforcement, around accident investigation, around the right to refuse dangerous work, and how incentive schemes in the mining industry have an impact on health and safety, for example. We will also be evaluating what progress has been made towards the 2020 study commitment, and that process has already started. Around learning industry, which is the second key thing, the key initiative is to set up a center of excellence for research, research implementation, and capacity building. As I've already indicated, a lot of our research is outsourced to various institutions, and there's sometimes different challenges in terms of quality or capacity in those institutions, and which is something that council cannot directly control, and we need to look at how best can be set up a center that assists in the improvement of health and safety within the center. The other key initiative, which is a major issue, is to ensure that we have appropriate occupational health and safety skills in the industry. Looking at, for instance, the training of health and safety representatives and shop stewards, and ensuring that their role is strengthened within the framework of health and safety. And health and safety representatives have a key role as defined in the Act itself, and we need to make sure that they are able to fulfill that role because it has a possibility of being in health and safety performance. We are, and that work has actually started. The program is being done with the NQA, and we have started the rollout, but we have also now started to get time to evaluate that initial rollout, see what improvements can be made on the program, because there were some concerns raised about the training, the way the training is done, and who gets nominated to be trained, and we are now really looking at those issues and showing that we take them into account to improve the training. And the intention is to train as many as 40,000 health and safety representatives and shop stewards within the next time. Council has also reviewed the training programs that the NPA has developed to make sure that they remain relevant and are able to support the work that we are trying to do in terms of safety. There's a program to train health and safety inspectors in collaboration with the Department of Mental Resources to again ensure that on the regulatory side we also have appropriate capacity to implement the appropriate. We will be developing various strategies to attract, train and retain the inspectors and OHS professionals to make sure that people, when they go into those occupations that relate to health and safety, that they understand their career progression and they are able to retain them within the sector. Another initiative that I'd like to highlight from the theme is around the development of an integrated system of occupational health management. This initiative has already started in partnership with the Department of Human Resources, and I will be able to elaborate on that. The theme on the creation of healthy and safe workplaces is primarily supported by the research that the council undertakes. One of the things, for instance, around elimination of city process is to ensure that we have a very clear standard just measurement strategy. Currently, mine sites are required to report the dust measurement, but one of the research projects that we undertook picked up that there's a lot of under-reporting simply because various sites use different measurement strategies, and therefore it is not easy to compare whether it's improving or not. So we need to make sure that we provide industry with a very clear measurement strategy such that everyone uses the same program. And then I've already spoken about noise interfering losses. We are also looking at falls of ground, which, as indicated in our statistics, contributes to the majority of accidents that result in fatalities. And also to some increase in accidents related to transport and machinery, but mechanism has been going down for some time, and now we have an increase in that, and we need to get whether you know the research that is done is adequate, and it's just a question of ensuring that the compliance with the various outputs that have been developed. The other area is around the lifestyle of mine workers, which really focuses on quality of life issues such as accommodation and nutrition and facilities, and looking at supporting existing government structures that deal with HIV and AIDS. And another area that was highlighted out of the action plan was the simplification of the compensation system. We have various legislations that deal with compensation on occupational diseases, and this seems to currently present some challenges in terms of ensuring that people are able to be adequately compensated when they have developed or they have taken injuries or diseases as a result of work in the mining industry. One of the achievements that council also referred is recognizing food safety performance, and this is just one of the awards that the council confers to various mine sites. For instance, the safety achievement flag is awarded to a mine that has the highest percentage improvement in allocated over a 3-year period when you compare 3 years to a previous 3 years, whether there's any improvement. Some of the winners in 2008 of this award were Harmony Gold in the category of mines that are ultra deep, that is greater than 2,000 meters, and in a category of below 2,000 meters of shallow mines, we had RPM Union Mine in the colliery category, that's from A9, and in other mines we had 9 acres. So that is done on a regular basis throughout the year, and in the annual report here is more comprehensive of all the mines. When you look at the second objective, that is the supporting the achievements of the existing milestones, as I said, this focuses primarily on the research that the council does. On the occupational health program, we had 11 projects that were continuation projects, which means that these projects are run for more than a year, and they started in the year, either in the year before or even earlier. And we have introduced 3 new projects. And the research topics for our projects again focus on the major issues within health, which is tuberculosis, looking at various programs around tuberculosis. We said post-traumatic stress disorder, what happens to people once they survive a traumatic incident in the mining environment. We looked at women in mining. Government has an initiative to increase the participation of women in mining, and we know that that environment is different, so we are looking at what are the physiological constraints and how we ensure that you know, that environment is more conducive for women to work. We're looking at things like fatigue management. A lot of mines are really old, and we have a situation where miners actually walk very long, for a very long time to get to their working site on a daily basis, and looking at what impact that has on them being aware of the risk when they do work, and show that they don't necessarily expose themselves to hazards. Another area is around ergonomics, and this has come up as an issue in various areas within the mining industry. For instance, when you look at some of the machinery that's used in terms of where the driver sits and what visibility he has around him, and awareness to ensure that they don't run over people, which in fact seems to be quite a recurring occurrence of equipment running over people, and part of that form has to do with how the driver is positioned, for instance, and whether they are able to see if there are people that are in danger. On the health side, we launched the occupational hygiene handbook. This is one of the bigger handbooks that is developed. We've also launched an audit tool for tuberculosis control. I've indicated that TB is one of the major diseases that my workers suffer from. And we also launched the results of the silicosis program. In fact, when it comes to silicosis, part of the outcomes of that BF2 research outcome was to undertake a roadshow and develop some material. In your text, there is an information booklet, for instance, of silicosis that is distributed to all the miners to ensure that they understand how to prevent exposure to, or how to reduce exposure to drugs, and ensure that they protect themselves from silicosis. On the safety side, the program in 2008 focused on rock fall elimination, on rock burst prevention, and also on emergency hearing loss prevention. what we also looked at in 2008 is that we reviewed how we manage the research program, because there were some issues in terms of duplication and ensuring that the focus is very clear on what we work on. The council is quite small, and we need to make sure that if we implement the research program, it is first of all in the appropriate area, and that the outputs of that program are managed throughout. And that has resulted in some of the projects, for instance, being stopped because they were not necessarily appropriate or reorganized such that we can get the best results. In terms of supporting the mining inspectors, various reviews were done, and development of guidelines for things such as work-related disorders. We started work on the minimum standards of treatment guidelines, which has necessitated further work, and this we are again reviewing. We also started work on the guidelines for risk-based medical surveillance, and as I indicated earlier, that is really one of the major challenges. How do we ensure that we are constantly aware of the medical risks that miners face, and that we proactively understand what we are looking for and how to prevent people increasing the exposure to the hazard. And there was also work on the compilation of mandatory code of practice for personal exposure to airborne pollutants, but also related to silicosis. We started work on workers' incapacity to ill health and injuries, The outcome of some of that work indicated that diseases often result in a higher percentage of people losing their occupation once they've acquired them. So either they have to be moved to do a totally different way. Compared to injuries, it has a huge impact on people not being able to continue the work that they initially had. Another program that Council does is to support the inspectorate in accident investigation with technical support. For example, in 2008, Council supported getting technical experts to assist with the bone-to-bone accident, looking at assessment of the steel wire ratio. For objective 3, the focus has been on development of an action plan out of the presidential audit recommendations. Mr. Gaz indicated that there was a presidential audit that was done last year, that resulted in specific recommendations. And therefore, Council looked at those recommendations and pulled out actions that related to the specialty work that Council does. And now we have included that in our plan for this financial year. I already indicated that we hosted a tripartite leadership summit that was attended by the principal. Council also submitted I'm not going to go through all of the presidential audit recommendations. These are some of the key ones that related to Council. The first one relates to ensuring that, again, Council is properly capacitated. The inspectorate is properly capacitated as the NQA so that we are able to make a meaningful impact in reducing the levels of injuries and deaths in the sector. The other one related to the development of the National Mine Seismic Network. Currently, the seismicity, the monitoring of seismicity in the mining sector is left the industry, and therefore the regulator, for instance, that does not always have access to information whenever an accident has occurred as a result of seismic activity, and therefore we are waiting the Council for Geoscience to look at how we can integrate their surface network that they already have nationally. And ensure that we increase monitoring in the mining region, for example. This activity is not that straightforward because you use completely different equipment when you're measuring certain activity underground compared to when you're measuring on surface. The type of measurements you make are completely different, and therefore it requires a very consolidated approach in terms of, you know, how do we take those two different sets of data and develop some mechanism that allows us to continuously monitor ground movement such that we get to a point where we can anticipate events that might result in fault of ground, for example. And that way it is trying to continue. Out of the presidential audit recommendations, again, there's an emphasis on developing an integrated system for occupational health management. And we know that, you know, this is becoming more and more crucial when you look at the health statistics, when you look at the pathology reports after people have died, you can see that there is really a need to they say that one limits the exposure to harmful substances and the preventative programs that are I think I have really mentioned the issue of capacity a lot. It's come out of the summit, the leadership summit that we had in 2008. This is an issue that has also come out of the presidential audit as well. But we really need to make sure that there is health and safety training at all levels in the education and training sector. In the mining sector. I mean, that, you know, every engineer on the mine completely understands health and safety issues. Every worker on the mine completely understands health and safety issues. That is the only way that you can make sure that people are really able to identify hazards and therefore they are able to respond appropriately in ensuring that they can and that also relates to capacity, health and safety competences for managers in the sector and as a supervisor we are putting in the law. And it also goes to investment. These recommendations, the issue of promoting an appropriate culture of health and safety at mine also came through out of the presidential audit recommendations. And another significant issue was ensuring that health and safety management is part of the same management structure within the mine, but it's not compartmentalized. And dealt with differences to how, for instance, production is managed.
I mean,
just
coming there, that recommendation, if you look at it, it was actually even addressed in the Lyon Commission. Because in the mine, if you have a manager who's accountable for production, but then they appoint safety managers, somebody who's not holding the belt, to run with that responsibility. And I think the matter we're looking at is that if you're responsible for production, you're responsible for peace, you're responsible for health, for people in that area. If you appoint this professional, they must support you as a manager, not to carry that responsibility. Because when inspectors go to mine, for example, in some areas, you find that they have to go with safety officer, not the accountable people. And that's an issue with which was picked up by Judge Leon, and to a great extent, it still exists in some quarters, and we're looking at the regulations to address it.
The capacity issues, I don't think I go through this again. I think that really throughout the presentation, I have emphasized the importance and the need to really make sure that we have the right. In terms of ensuring an effective operation of CASO, the person of CASO has indicated that it's appointed a grade. We have also looked and reviewed all our HR policies, and upgraded the website. And when it comes to managing health and safety information, we partner with the inspection to establish an integrated management information system. This is the council website. For instance, we have all the websites, all our research reports, the trust area on the website, and people are able to download and access the reports. What we are also doing now is to digitize some of the research that was done by the Chamber of Mines when council did not exist. They had also done quite a lot of health and safety research and to ensure that that material is also available to researchers, that, you know, the same way is not used. This is just a slim picture of the integrated management information system. You know, we have various modules within there that deal with project management, that deals with mine records, that deals with task management, all our operational activities as well as health and safety related information will eventually be centralized in this one area. The Department of Mineral Resources acquired the system itself, and council is partnering with them and providing the hardware support to ensure that they get the system up and running. This project is ongoing. Probably we can complete it in the next financial year, but we really already need to make some progress. On the performance side, I think just quickly looking at the financial overview, Mr. Gazelle indicated that the majority of funding comes from levies that are paid by mine. This is just an indication of the levy payments that were done in 2008. From state, the funding will receive last financial year is 4.9 million. And that is the expenditure on research and the expenditure on all of the other projects. This was just to compare the distribution of the research expenditure. In 2007, we had almost the same amount of money spent on safety and on health. In this year, in 2008, was a slight reduction in the safety research, primarily because most of the machinery and transport systems had already been completed, and also that there were projects, as I mentioned, that we had to stop because of the direction and the recognition that they are not necessarily going to give us the expected results. And the increased expenditure on special projects is primarily on the climate action plan and the expenditure on health research is mainly more or less. In terms of the AG report, there were various issues raised in terms of emphasis of matter, compliance issues related to the PFMA, related to transactions and disbursements, and the fact that council did not have any internal discussion throughout the year. And there were some issues raised. Supply chain management, on ensuring that payments are kept in a very tight compliance, ensuring that all things are published and the hours are also published, and ensuring that the supply chain personnel comply with the national standard code of conduct. On the other matters, the issues that were raised were around the claims or unavailability of requested information. There were material amendments to the financial statements, the availability of key officials during the audit. I think the internal audit one I've already indicated that resulted primarily from the fact that the internal auditors were on the case. That is an outsourced function. And then there is also decisions within the design and implementation of internal control, by financial and and compliance in the city. On the this side, there was an issue around risk assessment, communication, and business management strategy. On the performance information, the issue raised was around information systems not being appropriate, and adequate control processes designed to ensure that the performance information is accurate. Management has already drawn up an action plan to deal with the findings, and I would say that about 80% of them have already been addressed. Thank you very much for attending, members.
Thank you. So just in wrapping up, Chairperson, that report was made available to members, which really indicates some of the work that council is doing. We have this knowledge is power. It's really a silicone booklet prepared in a comic fashion, printed in four languages, Zulu, Xhosa, Sotho, and English, to help mine workers to really grasp the issues around the process and what can be done to avoid it. And then nutrition booklet. We spoke about fatigue. Mine workers have spent a lot of time underground, and if they are not well fed, you run into problems of fatigue and accidents. It's something that seems unrelated, but really related to the problem of health and safety. So SEMREC has developed this book, which provides guidelines for health professionals like mine and the feeding schemes and practitioners. This other one also is a comic, but deals with issues of noise. What do you do to protect your hearing? Because with machines running on people, in some cases, because people can't hear, with the warning. So it's a booklet that's prepared in a way that miners are able to enjoy it, but also learn while they're going through that experience. And there are two smaller ones, which really are part of the research outcome. What happens is we do research, and a lot of this research you realize that it doesn't really get implemented on the ground. And because research reports are written in a way that people at operations sometimes don't really have time to go through them. So what we do in SEMREC prepare the smaller booklet, which really crystallizes the main outcome of research. So they work as reference material for practitioners at mine. The darker one is most of road deterioration. So if you think we transport mine workers vertically hanging on rope every day to 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers from the ground. And so this booklet just helps people to understand how that rope is constructed, how you lubricate it, how you maintain it, when you have to change it. So these are rich of text and very useful also for inspectors who are inspecting to really reference and see whether they're checking the right thing. And then the last one deals with economics. Economics like fatigue, very important, but a subject probably that we didn't pay much attention in the past. Section 21 of the Act requires that anybody who designs, sells a machine to mining operations, they need to take into account economic considerations. How people sit on those machines, it is not going to lead to musculoskeletal problems. Can they see so that they don't expose others to danger? So that booklet is a reference material which is distributed to mine so that people have resource information that helps them to deal with the issue. And we have a DVD here also which we have circulated to members which focuses on noise-induced hearing loss training. People can do to protect hearing. And the last one prepared by MQA, it really captures the outcomes of the presidential audit at the Transparency Summit at a high level.
and what M2A is doing and Hunter. I think the CEO has referred to the training of health and safety representatives. M2A has set aside $54 million to train health and safety representatives. And it's a very special project, important project from our perspective. Inspectors are few. Issues of coverage are a big issue. Health and safety representatives are at operating time, 24/7. So we're very interested in this project because when they are trained, they become our ears and eyes on the operating side. And also 4.2 million set aside for training inspectors, developing capacity so that we improve the quality of our inspection, auditing, and also investigation, so that we are able to learn and we focus on the problem in driving the improvement. So thank you, Jefferson. That covers our presentation.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jefferson. On the slide of the huge hall of ground, I would like to know whether it is because of poor planning, it is because of lack of consultation with relevant stakeholders, or what is the cause of that, because it is huge, and one cannot stand where there is any progress on making it less than this. Because fall of ground is one of the things that make many accidents in mining. I'm talking from my constituency area. The experience is because of lack of communicating with relevant stakeholders for helping people for the planning of the certain area. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chido.
The CEO is given a very good and positive, especially when it comes to prevention of the disease. A very good improvement also in society. But no, my is not a vacant that exists. There's no extra money. And also the findings of the AC. The lack of effective and efficient transparency and control regarding the the not compliance. What are is it because of the vacancy, or is it because of the lack of the minutes that are not there to assist the auditor general in working out or in the financial. But otherwise,
the broad principle, and they'll come with specifics where it's needed. Just on the fall of ground accident, by Honorable Salita, the issue of major falls of ground through investigations and inquiries, we pick up that in some areas, yes, planning is a problem involving everyone. I mean, the specific photograph accident that you're talking about in Glastonbury, that major fall, it was clear that it was related to design at the very beginning. Like, the committee had an opportunity to go there, and the mine made changes immediately after the accident. The whole planning and design was shifted, which was indeed commended by the committee, and we think will improve the situation. So it's really planning, training, and one of the aspects that the CEO addressed in her presentation refused to work in dangerous places. Our Act makes provision for that, but in practice, it's always been a problem. I mean, we know the history of the country and the mining industry in particular. The legislative provisions are there, but people often say that they are intimidated, and that's why council is working on that particular program, developing guidelines of how you refuse, how you follow that process of refusing to work in dangerous places. Because it's very clear that supervisors were aware that the place was dangerous. However, 9 employees were and the whole area collapsed, leading to their death. They are not there to tell the story, but their account was that they were taking and getting out of the dangerous place. And the question is, why did they go there in the first place? The matter is still under investigation. The inquiry is underway, and we hope it will help us to get similar information. The question of capacity from the Honorable Tito on council, we accepted it's a challenge that I think we were very upfront from the beginning. Council has serious capacity constraints, and just a bit of background, I think it's more the model of how council was funded. When council was established by the Act in 1997, as I indicated to the committee earlier, it was not intended to be a juristic presence that it is today. Council was purely an advisory body. But in 2003, the Minister of Finance declared council as a public entity, because the department was giving a bit of funding. At that time was around $2 million a year, just to help with the administration, secretariat to coordinate meetings, a very small institution. But because that money was flowing from the department, from public coffers, the council was declared a public institution. And because employers also were contributing to the administration fund, there was always this tension of building capacity. Council. Every time you say you build capacity, people will say, no, you can't spend much. You would have noticed on the slide where we deal with expenditure that there's a growth now in expenditure, because we realize you have to build capacity to expenditure. Council. We restructured, and that's why we have this team of executives here. And we also the financial manager and financial manager. Human resource manager, even an IT manager has been appointed, they will comment on those details. But it's been a process. I mean, 2 years back, we were just on the brink of getting a disclaimer and rebuilding, and I think things are developing going in the right direction. And then the question on page 25 on monitoring the tripartite summit, Honorable Mateva. The extended council, like any other board, meets 4 times a year. And when we meet there once a year, an extended council, you're basically inviting people to that council. That's where you will probably that meeting invite the minister, invite committee members, invite CEOs. They don't normally, they're not members of council, but we bring them to that council meeting to deliberate on the progress we make in terms of the implementation of the Tripartite Summit. And I think Nadine will help us on also ground what is being done, the research program, what are they seeking to address, to address those challenges. Yes, accommodation, the problems in the mining industry. A lot of the work that council is doing is really support work. Council has no authority to instruct mines to do anything, to see the gaps and develop resources and figures to assist government, to assist mines to do issues and to address those issues. So accommodation has been identified as a problem, and also issues of nutrition, and that's why there are resources to drive the industry on what we understand.
There's various research programs going through. There's even an initiative from industry where it's looking at best practices on leading practices in one mine at a time and transfer that to the other mine to help reduce this problem of gravity and all the ground force for the ground. I don't know if that answers.
Okay. And also,
the
idea that all the time, and then the mines need to constantly be able to evaluate
what you have about you and what are the new ways that you can anticipate those children as opposed to trying to deal with them when they will be doing it. Thank you, Stephanie. I also thank the officer for Jefferson, I would also like to know whether the space unit is participating in the global warming issues. Because if the answer, one of the answers is the CFO, the CEO, says that the platinum mines are also now for this challenge of falling off the ground. Is there any research done for global warming? Do you know which areas of us are in danger in our country? Are you participating in any input? I would like to know. And where can I continue? The second one is space itself. The fatalities in Paris. The fact our achieved safety performance level is equivalent to by 2013. Will this mean that policy will there be policy to enforce? And will effective implementation be monitored with the order of the day? If there is policy, will this be the order of the day? The newsletter, page 14. How does this article reach the people who cannot read? Who helps them to understand the article? Page 19, the old machinery in the workplace. Really, we must really have law that enforce mind not to give people old machinery in the workplace, because this is killing the people and we are dealing with more and more injuries in the mining industry. And it is as if that private sector does not care. They just don't care. And we are also lenient with them. So we will have to have teeth to bite, because this is getting more and more I can say careless about people's lives. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Bill. Sorry, Chair, I have to go down. Mr. Garvin, thank you very much. These are the only two of that I have because they have picked up. And again, thank you very much. I congratulate you about these two beautiful names. I can say something is going to happen because we have babies, and the babies are there. Mine is a real warming center. I'm sure by now all of you guys know what my warming centers are. One of them is this silicosis, but both of them is silicosis and epoxy. And they are both mentioned in the action plan, which means something is going to happen. But on page 12, I just want to know how you're going to do this. That's a clarity. It says on page 12, after December 2018, in that paragraph, up to that is the different between and the industry in 2000. If only I can get what do you really mean by this. Does this mean that by 2013 or after 2013, we won't be having this anecdotes, we'll be done with it? And I'm not very clear about that paragraph. And secondly, it is a one. It's really a one. Yes, I understand you are doing something about it. Page 19. we can't keep on saying we are going to do this and it doesn't happen, and by this time, I think it also appears in all places. Then to a place, you see, you are going to eliminate a whole thing. Even here, you are going to do a step, but this has been happening for a long time. Or let's just take it with you. Because now we have a lady sitting on it. She is starting from the beginning, where you have gone, she is processing. But I have not had it. It looks like ready. You start to say, we have, I'm sure this gentleman said something like that. Yes, we are able to detect the stone or the rock. You see, what we need, because that is exactly what I wanted to know. Can you detect this rock before it falls? Thank you.
I think that is a profound level of attentive in your audit colleagues. Out of a total of about 6 meetings, you got half of the committee members having attended only one. What can you attribute this level of attentive to? Thank you.
Just on the presidential audit recommendation, I don't know how far we've gone to comply with those recommendations. For example, if you have problems with some of the recommendations, what are the
problems? May I ask one of the members? I have allowed the council to talk on the presidential audit recommendation. If you would recall, we have a one-page section of the presentation of the program on the presentation of the work that has given us. It has given us the recommendation of the presentation of the program. We haven't seen what I would like to do in the course of the program. So I would request that we pack our information on that.
To assess the risk before you start to do anything.
I think at the core of our problem, probably, which is what we started to pick up, the CEO spoke so much about training. It's really training not only workers, but also people in supervisory positions in terms of risk management. And currently our universities also have come on board, is running a program with the help of Anglo on risk management, operational risk management. Very central to dealing with many of the challenges that we are facing. All machinery, I think with the Ellis Run incident, we've raised this issue because a lot of our mines, I mean, they were developed many years ago, and like many other things in engineering, when you design an equipment, it has got a design life. And with the current commodity prices as high, some of the older mines are opening. So issues of recapitalization is an important one. Putting capital in infrastructure and not stretching the current infrastructure beyond its useful life. Because if one does that, you end up with situations like Ellis Run, where the 3,200 miners were trapped. There was a recommendation also in the presidential audit report dealing specifically with that issue, and currently the inspectors in their regulatory contact with mines are dealing with that aspect of old machinery and ensuring that their profits remain where they need. And then moving to the question of after 2013, what that objective is really saying is that after 2013, we don't, there will be glucosis. People obviously who contracted earlier than 2013. But what we're saying is that after 2013, there must be no new cases. We must be able to control the environment, not expose people. Because the current problem is bigger, it's the current machinery equipment you use. I mean, the rock drills that you are using, pneumatic rock drills. So it will take time to phase out a lot of those machinery, put in new machines. And that's why in 2003 that objective was set, that in 2013 we should have dealt with those environmental issues, engineering issues, so that going forward you don't have new cases. You're simply dealing with the legacy issues. And then on faults of ground, Naveen will assist again on the follow-up ground, but I'm just going to put a context to the issue of health and safety. We're talking about, in safety in particular. When you go back, say 30 years ago, our industry was responsible for killing over 1,000 people a year. And I think it's always important to reflect on the issues. And well over 50% of those deaths were faults of ground. And you cannot say that today. It might still account for a bigger portion, but last year we've recorded a 30% improvement in mine-related deaths. So in terms of percentage, follow ground might be higher, but when you look at it in context and over the years, we are improving. We are improving seismicity. Seismicity has drastically come down. Seismicity is like a plane crash. When it happens, everybody hears about it, it's a problem. But in reality, seismicity, because of the research, the problems that are in place, has come down. Deaths in terms of caused by seismicity have come down significantly. So, follow ground, yes, is a problem. We're focusing on it, but putting that context,
there's been a significant drop, if I just quote the numbers from 2000 years into 2010. just to show that in 2017, 9 people were killed as a result of all the drugs. In 2008, there was 12 to 50. There are significant efforts being put in place from the research perspective, from the implementation of the mining, from the employers being more vociferous about conditions that they're working under. So there are significant things. And as of today, compared to 5 years ago, or 7 years ago, the numbers were significantly higher. So in terms of the newer technology being implemented, new research findings being implemented, workers being more educated and trained in terms of the hazards that they are exposed to, and taking responsibility for it, is significant efforts that have been implemented. And it'll be a while before we start seeing more and more benefits there. But it needs to continue the efforts from everyone.
And Chair, if I can just follow up, something very significant in my view is happening in the industry, which I was saying to employers, I mean, it's something that's long overdue. Currently, the industry is looking at best practices. In the past, I mean, the biggest problem that we suffer from, if you look at the many mines we have, some mines are doing extremely well, others are not doing well. And the question is why? And it's that people are not learning from each other. I think that's why the team we identified under the Tripartite Summit, creating a learning industry. Keep the best practice somewhere, take it to other mines. And the interesting thing is that that initiative is not run by government. The industry under pressure realize that it's something that needs to happen. The currency committee, where they look at hologram is a problem. This mine is the best performing mine. What are they doing? And it's documented in that way. And mines are adopting those best practices. So in our view, all these initiatives combined together, we will see significant improvements in the health and safety arena.
Every problem is not that, though it is because I appreciate the fact that you have detected some good, particularly this matter of the corruption. But I'm just asking myself a question as to whether it is not by sheer luck that over a given period you do not have this event taking place. Because by their very nature, once they occur, they kill quite a big number of people. Now, I am raising also comes up with the work that Simon is doing, is that in your slide, page 5, you are not unpacking for us 41%. You got the gravity in your fall of ground, and you got the fall of ground as a result of the system. But we don't see that. It just lumps together. Because those two will require special attention and therefore, you know, different solutions to those two situations. So, firstly, we want to know, you know, what constitutes the issue for you so that you can then understand. But second, we were engaging geoscience council here. And they did, well, members asked all the questions in terms of why are we in this day and age not as yet able to detect any occurrence, particularly in terms of the forest. And their response was, firstly, yes, we are unable, but we don't need to tell them what the first story, but we want you to tell us exactly what is going on. Because we've asked them. And they even went to understand of saying that their partners sometimes in some in America, I don't know, America, Europe, so forth, like you can be able to develop the technology that can assist us to detect any, you know, possible occurrence. Now they are complaining in the second part about that they do not have sufficient money. They said that they've made the older contract a little bit more than 20 million dollars. And yet, yet they're doing the same work. I don't know if it's synergy between yourself and the geoscience council, because you're showing the surplus of 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 and yet, the Minor Legislative Council shows, you know, records, they suffered, and said, yes, they're doing the same work as through similar expansion. This very important factor, which contributes a lot in terms of fatality, that so far has been registered, you know, by the leaders. So, we would want them after this class, because we have said to them, when we discuss the report, we will then see in what best way. Do accept them, the choice of one. But when we look at your report, we can understand maybe why treasure is different, because this is one and the same Department of Economic Development. And if there are no synergies created between, you know, these bodies that are within that department, then obviously treasure will not find its way to be pumping in money continuously to work on that strategy, because that is not the area for this question of one. But then, I think for us, the bottom line is we would want to see massive, if not total elimination of the shortage. Both in this short, in terms of gravity groups and as well as just institutions for us. We would want us to spend some time.
Thanks, Chair. I think Naveen will assist us with some taking the 41%. But just commenting maybe on the surplus and the and CGS. Let me say up front, we collaborating with CGS on the safety project. And as we have indicated, we don't have research capability within Tanzania. So we rely on CSIR, CGS to do a lot of this work for us. So CGS is doing that project. For us at Cancer. The surplus, I think we covered it mildly in the report, but with the restructuring that has been taking place at the Cancer and also streamlining our research program has led to the cancellation of some of the projects, and that's why we have the surplus. But if you look at the research program of Cancer, it's a multi-year program. So you'll never have a situation where year ends you spend everything. Money, projects are running 3 years, five year programs. And with the presidential audit and the tripartite climate action plan, which the council is implementing, those money, although appears the surplus are committed money in addressing them. And CFO will touch
thank you. Just on the data on the 2008 statistics, there's three categories. There's basically three categories that you have for the work. The first one is gravity induced. That makes up 44% of that total number. 8% was strain bursting, and 48% for droplets. 44% of that. Strain bursting, 8%. And rock strain bursting. Rock bursting is 48%. Strain bursting is a very small localized seismic event compared to rock burst, which is a much larger and affects a larger area. So for strain burst, you may have up to about 5 inches. For rock bursting, it could be the entire drop or the panel in which people are working. 8. Rock bursting is 48. Okay, if I can go a bit further about the comment I made about detection. The comment I was talking about, the aspect I was talking about, is detecting static faults for the gravity induced. not the seismic related stuff. So what you'll have, if I can just sit down in a few minutes, you'll have a piece of rock in that you'll be looking at. By comparing the temperature of that rock to the surrounding rock, you'll be able to distinguish between blue or not. But that's completely static. Okay? So that's a gravity-induced type of what you have. There's a significant area of concern about prediction of seismic events. There's more focus on the probability of an event taking place rather than actually where and when it will take place. So they say the probability of an event taking place is going to be 20% in the following area, and the management has to make a decision to deal with. Or it could be 90% based on the following condition. The aspect of prediction is something that every single seismologist aspires to, but I think we're very, very far from it in terms of the process. There's a lot of work that's been done, and I think there's a recent Japanese project that's going to be undertaken in South Africa, where they're looking at aspects of seismicity for an earthquake study to give them some indication. The South African researchers are piggybacking on this project to look at how it can impact from a mining perspective. Mm-hmm. So there's significant opportunities in that, which also touches on the aspect of funding that the council requires, or the council of geoscience requires. But the aspect of prediction is still very, very, very far. So I don't think we can predict this, but I think there is probability of where it is.
On this matter, have you attempted to recall the monument? Is there going to be a percentage of that kilo to contribute towards the person for many years? People have been, you know, killed in the last of us not being able to ultimately find the solution. And what would be your attitude to it? It's interesting because our view is that if they can't do it themselves, which is a demonstration of the economy, now we're talking to the countries of the mining industry, and they have got to take to basically spend to be able to level up, you know, their health and safety and their production. Now, we are beginning to think along the lines of the cost, the contribution to the government. What would you like? Are you open to do that? The lender will be on that part to raise this contribution so that you realize that they're going to have this contribution? Or do you think that Parliament must rise and basically intervene in this situation by legislating, you know, whatever purpose it has to do with, so that that fund can be then restored? So this is kind of particularly when it's called the economic machinery and other things. I think already a number of them have indicated it yourself. You have indicated that you need such a regulation in terms of all machinery. On this front, which I think is costing you more and more, we need them to look at different mechanisms.
Chair, if I can comment, as you were raising the question, I was trying to link it to the challenges on the CGS part. But on the health and safety research funding, the way it's structured in the regulation, it made it very open in the sense that we look at the need first, and then we levy the money. So from our research perspective, we don't have the constraints in terms of funding, because we look at the need first, and then we levy the money in line with the need. And so that's why I was trying to understand whether it's funding in general relating to CGS or specifically with health and safety. And maybe well on this point, just to comment on the work at CGS, and definitely the work that we do at CANSAR, the current program that we're running is really trying to integrate. Because if you look at CGS is doing major things in monitoring for the country, and they're collaborating with international institutions. But they cannot measure micro earthquakes, if you like, micro seismic activity that happens in the mine. Even if they locate it, they can't pick it up accurately because their instruments are weak. So seismic monitoring that happens at level of mine is much more accurate than CGS is able to do that. So currently the project we're running is to say, how do we integrate the much more refined seismic monitoring that happens at mine level with the work that happens at the country of Europe. So currently that, because they can measure below the magnitude of 2. I mean, they can pick it up, but they can't tell you where it happened or whatever. The monitoring that happens at the mine level is actually much more accurate. And what we're saying is, how do you integrate the two systems to talk to one another? But the final analysis is that from a research point of view, on the health and safety research, we don't experience constraints because the regulations are such that we look at the needs and we level them what we need.
So what
happens
is that the industry is willing to make a contribution as a contribution. But then the problem lies with the project. In that, for many years, you know, hundreds of years, that we have been dealing with the issue of the fall of ground. No specific attention has been paid by that to be able to find a solution. Because here, we all of us agree that the detection, any detection is the best preventative measure in terms of quality. And you, with what that you were saying, you are hampered because of the fact work that you go in. Now, one of the areas that was raised at your time was the question of funding. But now you are saying funding is not a problem. But then why? Why is the department waiting until so many lives are taken away before you can ultimately find the lasting and permanent solution on it.
And the reason for assisting all of that. Chair, I think in addressing this question of funding, you need to separate CGS and the Mine Health and Safety Council. Because CGS, they have a reason. The levy provision in the legislation deals with health and safety research, which is run by CANSEL. And we've engaged with CGS. I mean, CGS, there are quite a number of things that they would like to do. And their research, their funding constraints, that are not necessarily health and safety research. And that's what I'm saying. I think we need to just draw that particular line. On the issue of fall of ground and seismicity, we're working together. They're doing that problem for us. I wasn't aware that the research constraint, I mean, funding constraint for that particular program. But I do know that in their other work, which is not related to health and safety, they do have funding constraints.
Thank you for me coming. Also, as part of the presidential order, there is a specific project that funding set aside to look at this year. There's been now the new Japanese project that cases for funding. So I think that is covered in the presentation, that there is a particular need, there is a manner in which it would be addressed. What you're doing is tightening up the processes in terms of how the research will be undertaken, etc. So there are plans in terms of this. With regards to the activities on fall of ground, I think it's really a joint effort. And the aspect for the introduction of the best practice initiative undertaken by the employers is a significant initiative. Because we've tried so many, the nature of mining and the dynamic of mining is so drastic that it changes on a day-to-day basis. The condition that you will see today will be completely different in the exact same area that you will see tomorrow. So the manner in which you do the research, you're not always going to address that single, if you start applying it, you're not going to address everything across everything tonight.
Mm-hmm.
However, by taking the best leading practices applied throughout the industry, based on the research and the research findings, I think we're going to make some significant efforts in terms of the reduction. And we've already seen it in terms of the numbers. There are going to be accidents where one or two are going to be anomalies in terms of the system. For example, the one in Impala right now, where 9 people were killed in the fall of ground. That was a design issue, and has since mine changed its design as a result of it. But if you look at the continuous trend, it's a downward trend, we are improving. And I think the initiative by the council, Mine Health Safety Council, the initiative by employers of their own through the hospital facilities, will see a drastic reduction in this. So I'm very confident in terms of that whole process. There's also a significant component of the training that's been built in terms of the awareness. And when you look at it holistically, I think there are significant efforts to drastically reduce the support of drugs.
Can you say that on this
month,
the number of people who
to look at the collaboration opportunities that we need to create with the government, let's look at one of the matters. Two, the reason why we said unpack was because what we have learned because we've been through the past, which we cover here. Indeed, the design, work design, and it was really a good effect, which is apart from, you know, the lack of people taking up production by those who are basically shutting down the mine. The mine was needed because the ship was came through, you know, after the individuals who were identified. But then we were compared to their proposals in terms of change of production process, which is the condition that we want you to look over ahead and be able to then advise the case. Because what they have demonstrated there to us, you know, we were able to see that it presents some answers in terms of the production, targets that have been changed over now and then, and at the expense of the life of in there. And the second issue, this issue of funding. Because we don't want a situation where next year we're still discussing about the mechanism to assist you to be able to do the work. So you say, the local says we want a demonstrable action plan that will be with the, you know, the research that will hone in on the area of so that if then whether it's in cooperation with your side or whoever else, there is going to be a problem around funding, we would want to come in and be able to assist. Whether we assist through treasury or we assist through the companies that are operational. As far as we're concerned, this parliament must deal decisively with this issue of work. And we cannot do that without you. You are the coalface, you understand the mechanism and the details of what is going on, and what we'll do. So when we engage you early next year, we want to see your problems as far as this area. But then, okay, you can go on to the other.
Thank you.
I think to some extent the issue of the surplus has been dealt with, but to just say that again, emphasize that that committed funding that wasn't used in the year, simply because some of the projects, for instance, were delayed, and we don't want to pay institutions when they haven't delivered, because then, you know, they have no incentive to complete the work. And in some cases, as we said, we had to stop work that we could see that it was not anything. Some of that surplus has been carried over to this year for the projects that are multi-year and are still continuing, which we have started paying as they complete. As the CFO has indicated, the audit committee, we're going to strengthen it. Currently, as I indicated, with the structure that council has, when we came in, the members of the audit committee were also again nominated representatives. Some of them, for instance, they had a member from DMR who subsequently resigned from DMR and therefore was replaced by other people. And what we are trying to do to create continuity for that committee is to actually appoint additional members of the committee that will also improve the skills of that committee and ensure that even when one or two members are not there, the committee is able to still fully function. So we will have sorted out that issue. In fact, the attendance so far has been quite enough. Yes, the issue of the newsletter. I do appreciate that newsletter probably does not help for people who cannot read or write. And in some cases, for instance, with silicosis now, we are busy with a roadshow. We are taking the message to the mine site. We started the roadshow on the 4th of November. We've done two shows a day at the mines in Gauteng. We'll be in Free State this week. We'll be in Mpumalanga next week. And the idea is to now also communicate it using industrial theater to explain to people what this means. And we're going to try and continue finding new ways of communicating with people at all levels, especially when it comes to the hazards that they face and how to protect themselves.
If I may add, that is why we've done the comic style, so that it's illustrative enough to even without the words. And also there's two styles. One is a comic that's based at or aimed at the worker, but there's also something more intense at the facilitator level. So it's approached in a two-pronged manner, one directly to the workforce in a manner which would be accessible, but then also to make sure that the facilitator who does the training is on a more intense level and that's given in an appropriate manner as well.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to bring the table as a guest. The council is advising the minister. But I cannot read about marine mining because people are drowning there. The divers are drowning. About the safety of the people who, the workforce who are working in marine mining. I cannot read about marine mining and safety on marine mining because those people are under the water. Yeah, we are talking about fall of ground, but what about the people under the water who are also digging diamonds under the water? This is all the responsibility also of the council to advise the minister about. Because there is not a monopoly bureaucracy there in that sense. Thank you.
My research and comment with the council. I want to agree with the
really we are worried about the woman. Things that have been happening ever since that moment. And my comment is, I'm really looking forward to a day when you will be, because you come to Parliament and look for Mamunye to say, Mama, there was a rock fall in Harmony and nobody was in that. I'm really looking forward to that day. I have never seen a problem drinking for so long. You know my example. You were not born there when this is that. And up to now, there's no solution. We are in the same situation.
This is also adapted to a few areas. In your slide in big thing, there are other disasters that you think. This is particularly more human, which is called in a life away you demonstrated to the intervention. But also the things I've seen here and I've heard in your final report in page 23 of this slide that you have been about to see the number one for the first question. Because it elevates, you know, the element of organization. But I have not concerned with seeing the number one for the rest of the world. In any shape. Those who are so bad, I'm sure they are there, you know, in general, to the external people. And, but most of them, the implementation of the minor conflict, particularly the one on the capacitation of the government in terms of hiring and retention. Because again, they have all these, you know, good regulation, policy, action there. But if there are no inspectors to basically ensure that it's compliant by all stakeholders in the industry, then we might just go to the top. So I just want to ask, why we don't want that? But if there is to basically quantify how many inspectors have to come to the client, have got to come to the second leg on the issue of the amendment is the status of the inspection, which was through the proclamation delayed in terms of
thank you. The discussion starts with the marine section, the Honourable Minister. I was just looking at the report that classifies the different accidents, and I think I'm just going to go back to the comment I raised earlier about how we focus our attention. Indeed, it's an area that needs council must advise the minister, and we take note of that. I think we've been faced with this bigger problem, the FOG, and sometimes when you're focusing on the bigger ones, some of the smaller ones sort of slips back. There are drowning incidents that are reported. However, when you look at statistics, they fall in the low category, and probably that's why it's not captured in the report. Chair, the first question on capacity of the inspector. Can I request that it is handled when we deal with the departmental presentation? Because council in its an advisory board 40, doesn't employ inspectors, so it's not the competence of the council. And then on the last section, or sections, the two sections, Chair, they'll be coming soon to the committee this week. I finalize the submission that goes to the minister and coming to the committee on those issues. So they've been finalized before.
Thank you very much. It's quite elaborate. What impressed the number of what is good in the process we have had, and those specific areas which unfortunately are the main areas that we need forward to. We are going to, together with the other members of the state and the main department, of course, discuss them, consider them in any next year. Take a look at it, and
also last time we delayed adoption because the feeling was that the minister, the class, was doing some work, which I think honorable members have seen last time and this month, that there is beginning to be, you know, work on the ground. There was also a strategy that went out between the Ministry of the Mineral Resources, Justice, Police, Ingenuity. Those were the key ministers that were involved in that class. So we're beginning to reap the fruits of those strategies that were worked out. But of course, we are still looking forward to the time when real work is being done. But I think that was the end thing here also. So, colleagues, the report is before you, and it's a matter of members of the area that they still feel letting them review them and adopt this report so that we then get to the agency and end of next year we will then program so that it is discussed in the house. Hopefully again by that time we will see more activities taking place on the part of the law enforcement in the part of the area. So the reason why I'm giving you this background, I'm not intending to spend time in terms of what we found, but more so in terms of the recommendation that the committee would want to make. But you are free to comment on any area of the report. After that, then we will adopt the committee on the report. Do you have a copy of this report?
Thank you.